Yeah, g'day everyone, and welcome back to the Gold Coast Titans Frontline Podcast for our Round 19 episode. It is also episode 5050, our first major milestone, mate. The haters said we'd never get here. The haters said it would stop after five episodes, and our commitment has never waned to the greatest podcast the Titans community has ever known or seen. Blaze, how are you, my brother?
Mate, I am flying, son. I am absolutely flying. Two wins in a row. We are chirping here on the Gold Coast. Obviously, great win against the Sharkies. A shout out to the guy that told us that we were shit and the Sharks were great last week on the old speak pipe section of the podcast. You find the front line. A big shout out to you, brother, because we just slap you up. It's slap you. Oh, we slap you. Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, in Coffs Harbour. I'm sure you weren't there, though. But yeah, look, obviously, really, really good. It's our 50th episode. We are flying right now, and what better way to celebrate it with a win, a nice little win here. So, yeah, we crack on.
100%, mate. This is like poetic justice for how we started the season compared to where we're at now. You know, we hit our first ever major milestone, and our club is at the highest point it's been all season. It's bloody awesome. Just quickly, guys, if you are new here, we're a Titans podcast. We cover absolutely everything you need to know every single week. We also intertwine our own opinions and thoughts throughout the podcast with an overall goal to inspire the community and really grow the front line. To that end, Facebook plus Instagram for ticket giveaways. Find us at Frontline, at Titans Frontline rather on Instagram, and search Gold Coast Titans Frontline and join that Facebook group. We will do ticket giveaways there where you can join us in the front line. And if you're a returning listener, of course, we welcome you back all the same. And we hugely appreciate you giving us your time, whether it's via a listen on podcast, where you can follow and leave a five-star rating, or on YouTube if you're viewing, where you can like and subscribe. Alrighty, no more housekeeping points, Blaze. Let's move straight to it, mate. The big dog himself, Kieran Foran, has re-signed for 2025. How important do you think this is for our club moving forward?
Yeah, I was giving you guys a smirk last week, so I knew this was coming. This is obviously huge here for the club because we love Foz. He's Daddy Foz. He's not, you know, Daddy Bimdog, but he is actually our dad, you know. That's how old he is. No, I'm joking. That is what the boys were doing. They stitched him up big time. I actually messaged him. I messaged Kieran. I was like, bro, the boys, they really stitch you up. He's like, yeah, they got me good. They got me good because every single one of them, we're just calling him old. But, you know, like wine, like fine wine, the older you get, the better you get, son. And Kieran Foran is playing some electric footy right now, which we'll obviously talk about when we talk about the Sharks recap. And we're loving it. We're absolutely loving Kieran Foran. So, yeah, look, he said that his body is holding up. He's enjoying his footy. You can tell that he's actually happy overall, which is great to see. And yeah, sign for one more year. So we'll get to see him in 2025 when we win our second premiership in a row.
100%, mate. And I'll have Foz as long as he wants to play. That bloke could be 50 years old, still lead by example. He is an absolute weapon, and I've got so much respect for him. Really, really proud to have him at the Titans. Absolutely awesome he has re-signed. This isn't really news per se, mate, but I did want to talk about it. Keanu Kinney, he basically came out and did a bit of media, like most of our players do, and he said that Dez continues to talk about finals, and he says that he wants us to continue to build our form, and he especially wants us to continue it this week at home against the Eels. Now, not so much a question for you, but how exciting is that, man, to hear that that talk is genuine around our club at the moment? That's so cool, man, and I really, really rate it. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, well, Brimo, Daddy Brimdog, was on the, what was the show? It was with Fletcher and Hindy, was it? Was it Fletcher and Hindy show on the weekend?
I haven't watched it, sorry. It could be, yeah.
I watched it. I'm pretty certain that was the one on Matty John's show. That was the one with Daddy Brimdog. And basically, he was talking about, the boys all know Desi is talking so frequently about like finals. They know exactly how many games they need to win. They know exactly what games they need to win. They're really focused on really turning the season around and not just leaving it at two games, but leaving it at let's get into eighth, let's get into seventh. You know, let's actually, this is a 0.1% chance of top four if you saw that post today from Fox League. So I'm holding on to that 0.1. But hey, don't you doubt Desi as the son. Don't you give me doubt because it was on the thing. It's statistically 0.1% chance. 0.1, so I'll take it. But, you know, it's exciting to see Keanu and AJ talking about it. And, yeah, although I think it was a 3.6, I'm going to quickly get the number. I think it was 3.6 or 3.4% chance that we could make the eight. But the fact of the matter is, let me just go check here. It was, here we go, 3.4% chance to make top eight and 0.1% chance to make the top four. 0% chance to win a minor premiership. So a lot of work to be done. But the fact is that, you know how at the beginning of the season I said, I hate doing mathematics. I hate doing top eight mathematics at this point of the year. Well, guess what? Here we are, man. Here we are.
What? So, I think I can see why Fox would do something like that. But certainly as fans, like, we don't need to look into that too much. All we need to look into is get to the games you can and support as loud and as good as you can, really. You know, stay behind this team. You know, as fans, we're not going to be seeing that number and going, oh, less than 5%. Okay, we won't bother going to the game now. So as fans, we just got to take it game by game and rock up where
we can. 3.4%, that motivates me. That I go to every game anyway, but like that motivates me because they've got Eels and Tigers at 0%. They've got Eels and Tigers at 0% to make the eight. So, and I believe that. I agree with that. So the fact of the matter is that it motivates me. It should motivate you guys to get to as many games as possible.
100%, man. We've never been in the likes of the Eels or the Tigers this year. I know we did lose to the Tigers, so that could be perceived as a controversial statement. But I think if you look at our season overall, we're traveling much better than those teams.
We didn't lose to the Tigers, mate. We beat ourselves. We beat ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, it will probably sound biased to anyone who's not a Titans fan, but Titans fans know, based on what we did the subsequent week, we beat ourselves in that one. It's as simple as that. Brimo, he's a good chance to return this week from a groin injury. We'll park that discussion for our preview when we review the team list there. Moeki Fotuaika is back for the Origin decider on the Queensland Maroons bench. However, Dave Fifita and Bo Firmo have both missed selection. Our coach Des Hasler thought personally both were a chance and within the equation. They ultimately miss out to Brendan Piakura and Kurt Capewell. How do you feel about this? Because I'm a staunch Queenslander, mate, but I'm disappointed to say the least.
Yeah, this is a really tough one because, again, yes, love Queensland. You're absolutely right there. We're back in our state and we'll be there. And I will support them on Wednesday and I will strongly support them. We'll be live streaming, so jump over to BK Sport for that stream because it does get really, really crazy. But it is really, really disappointing that every single person knows that this is not to do with performance on the field. Every single person in the community knows this because I've seen not only Titans fans come out about it, but everybody is coming out and saying, Billy, you're crazy. You are, as Ricky Stewart would say, on another planet. You're off your rocker, son. To say that Dave is not the best back rower in the comp. He just is. Angus Crichton on form right this very second. Okay, but also hasn't done it for a few years. Dave has consistently actually been there. You know, and he's doing actually better this year than last year. The only thing that he's like regressed in is tries itself. But he's got more try assists than everybody else on the list. He's got better defensive efficiency than everybody except for Felice Kafusi. He's got literally like 50 more tackle breaks than the next best. Like 50. Dead set 50 or so. 77 tackle breaks to like 34 or something is the next best. You know, what is going on? So it is really, really frustrating. It is a benefit to the Titans because we get to play them this weekend against the Eels in a must-win game. And we must keep on winning. So it is a benefit to us, but it's just disrespectful to us as well. And that's why we're so, you know, strong against this, is that Billy Slater is lying to everybody. And I'll say that. I truly believe that Billy Slater is literally lying to everybody. And there are so many comments that are in agreement of that. And yeah, it's frustrating. It really is frustrating. So I know you've got something to say too.
Well, I just want to say, like, when we talk about Origin, it's about being selected on form, right? Now, the Warriors lost last round in a Golden Point thriller to the Bulldogs. A lot of players in that game stood out and had fantastic games by nature if they had to.
Like Barnett.
Like Barnett, exactly, over 200 metres. Now, Kurt Capewell wasn't horrible. He had 126 running metres there and 34 tackles for three misses. But Bo Firmo was better, and he has been better for most of this year. That's not even up for debate. That's simply not up for debate. When you have Brendan Piakura, and we talk about picking on form, Brendan Piakura missed 9 tackles in the Broncos' loss last round.
He missed the tackle.
That is not Origin standard. He is missing this year 1 out of every 4 tackles he attempts, and he is in this extended squad ahead of Dave Fifita. That just does, like, Dave, for everything he brings in attack, if we just want to focus defensively, he misses 1 every roughly 11 tackles he attempts, based on the stats. So yeah, just, it doesn't pass the eye test. It doesn't pass the stats test. It doesn't pass the pub test. You know, if you went down to your local pub and there was 2 old fellas sitting on the stool, they're having a schooner, and you said to them, this is one fella, this is the other, and you showed them the stats, you showed them the match footage, you showed them anything to do with rugby league, They're all going to say it's Dave. I'm picking Dave Fifita. So super strange, really disappointed for Dave. Also disappointed for Bo. My bench would have been this, Blaze. I would have had Jaden Sewer remaining in the back row starting position. My bench would have been Harry Grant, Moeki Fodoaka, Dave Fifita, and Bo Fermor. Call me biased because there's three Titans there. I don't care. I'm playing Dave in a similar vein to Spencer Lanoue. Come on for short periods and wreak havoc. Run hard, offload, break tackles like we know you do, Dave. And instead of having Kirk Capel, I'm having Bo Fermor because he covers the back row and the centers as well. And I think he also brings more from the bench, younger than Kirk Capewell. Not as experienced, but he brings a lot more. Would you agree with all of that?
Yeah, I would agree with all that. I definitely think that Bo can cover both center also in the back row, which is great. I think that as well, though, is that I'm really disappointed that not only for Dave and not only for Bowie, Bowie had some debut for Queensland before. So Queensland always have this kind of knack for selecting based off of who has been there before, which, you know, Dave has been selected before, Bowie hasn't. So I kind of understand that Bowie won in favour of Kurt Cate, well, Felice Kafusi and the likes, unfortunately. Even though Bowie has been better than both of those guys this season. But with Dave, it is really disappointing that I just have to go against the overall beliefs of our coach, who hasn't actually done anything wrong since he's been here. You know, Queensland have won back-to-back series. We are playing at home at Suncorp. We beat them down there in New South Wales in game one. But we're here, sitting here, talking about why we disagree with our coach and why we're not exactly, and this is pretty much the whole of Queensland, is not focusing on the good. They're focusing on this one thing, and we have to focus on this one thing because it sets a really bad precedent. So, yeah, I'm disappointed for Dave. I'm disappointed for Bo and whatnot. But at the end of the day, I'm just disappointed in our coach that we have to sit here and be discussing something that should not be discussed because it's so obvious that Dave should be selected. They're lying to us.
Yeah, exactly. When we talk about origin distractions, the Maroons had plenty before game two in the media. This is just it's another distraction because the media, the fans, everyone's going to talk about the omission of Dave Fifita. And the only positive to come from this, Blaze, is that the rest of the league is now realizing that Dave is not a quote-unquote lazy player that glory seeks and everything and all the narratives that surrounded him before. There is an overwhelming amount of support online for our boy Dave. All right, mate, we've got a blast from the past this episode. We've got a nice and quick one. We've got the Eels this week, and we're only going to go back to 2023, guys, for a positive memory. Keanu Kinney's debut. It was Magic Round against the Eels at Suncorp. We won that game 26 points to 24, and it was the start of a young career that continues to show a ton of promise in Keanu Kinney. You were at that game. Do you remember Kinney coming on? I think he played at hooker, was it, for 9 minutes?
Was I at that game, Clarky? Gee, was it? Was
he there?
Game,
buddy. Was he there?
Yeah, he played. He played the hooker role actually for the last like 9 minutes of that game, I think it was, or 8 minutes or something like that. This is a cracker game because I remember this was part of our 5-game stretch. We scored 26, 26, 26, 26, 26, whatever it was. So it was one of our wins. We only had two wins in that stretch out of those 26 points, three of those being losses. But yeah, look, it was a great game because I remember Kieran Foran scored a hat trick was in this one. I think he did, didn't he?
I think he scored a hat trick in this game and in the same Dolphs jersey that we wore. Yeah, in that yellow City jersey that we had.
Yeah, in the last game of the season at Seabus as well. So, yeah, no, that was a fantastic game. I remember another content creator, an Eels fan, he was talking about saying that Kieran Foran loves playing the Eels, so that's a good thing because he does love playing the Eels and he'll play them this weekend. And we need to win it. We do. We need to win it. So apparently it's his birthday this week too. While I'm talking here, can you just quickly go and check Kieran Foran's birthday online? But, yeah, it was a fantastic game. It was the last game of Magic Round as well. So he was... we were all worried that the track was going to be too wet because it was raining heavily on the Sunday last year as well. Like, it wasn't even hailing at one stage between the first and the second game. So, yeah, look, fantastic result there. And then also we should have beat them in the follow-up game. You know, obviously the NRL came out and apologised for the follow-up game as well, so we should have beat them twice last year.
100%. We've got a chance for revenge on that one. It is indeed Kieran Foran's birthday this Saturday. So, get some creative crowd signs out. Happy birthday, Foz. I want to see it on TV. That'll be awesome. And make sure you wish him a happy birthday if he does a lap afterwards.
I was about to say, get the birthday suits out. Well, please don't do that. Please don't do that.
I don't subscribe to that advice.
Yeah, if we win, you don't know what's coming.
Well, Let's park that there and move on to reviewing last round. So we stay in the PG category of Spotify, Apple, and YouTube. Look, mate, we go to Coffs Harbour, a ground where the Sharks were undefeated, a ground where we've never won before. They're in the top four. At the time, we were in the bottom four. Throw the form guide out the window because our mighty Titans get it done 20 points to 16. I want to start off by asking you, what do you make of Coffs Harbour as a town, the ground itself, and then the game, please, because I know you are getting more into the travel side of things with you as well.
Yeah, so obviously, if you guys don't know, I do BKR Travel as well, so you can go and check out that YouTube channel where I do film a lot of the stuff but behind the scenes and, you know, around the cities that we do travel to. And I did vlog Coffs Harbour. That vlog came out on Monday. But yeah, look, I thought the city is great. I don't mind Coffs as a whole. I have been there before. 2 years ago, we played the Sharks. We lost 18-10. And I was there. It's a nice little town, you know. There's not an insane amount to do, but there is a decent enough amount to do there. And it was a nice and fresh feeling. You love that fresh vibe. In regards to stadium, I think that it sucks. I think it sucks really, really poorly, especially on this day where the council closed the inner workings of where you would normally stand on the fence and whatnot. So if you had, because obviously everyone had to sit then on the hill that surrounded it, and it was so far back. So in the first half, I was sitting with Keanu's mum and his partner, Faith, and then in the, it was also Aaron Clark's missus and his family. In the second half, because that was so far back from the field, I had to move to the corner where everybody else was, and it was still pretty awful, but you had a better view in for it. I don't know. It was just, it's not a great ground overall. A little bit better if you can go onto the field, but because of the rain, the mud, and all that sort of stuff, they didn't allow that. And then in regards to the game, it was unbelievable, mate. Gee whiz. It was unbelievable, son. Go two in a row. We love that. We absolutely love that. And it was great to see so many players stand up. Really good to see Keane get a try. Keane Palacia. Really loved that when he broke through. Chris, you know what my the moment of the game was when Aaron Clark gave Nico Hines a roasting, son. Like, he got into it. Ez has been unreal this year, but I saw Ez go at him and go at him. And the camera went off because Chrissy Randall scored a try, and he was still going at him. He wasn't watching the try. He was still going at Nico. It was so funny. So if we ever have anyone wondering who is our little enforcer, because like Jared Warrior Hargraves or Nelson or Safasun Mona, Aaron Clark, mate, he's a pit bull. He is a little pit bull, man.
And so, he's gone at both of those men as well. He went at Jared when the Roosters were up in the first half last year at our home ground. So Ez isn't scared of anyone, no matter how big they are.
Mate, Aaron, he loves it. He loves the sun. He's fired up, and he's having an unreal year. He really is. He's having an unreal year. So, look, I think that overall, we clearly were the better team. Yes, there's still things we've got to work on, but this was, for me, a better result than the Warriors. Like, winning 66-6 is unbelievable. It was a great shock. It was all this and that. It was great. But this was like a, we had to hold the Sharks out in the end. And this team is third. I know they're going through their problems, but we could have easily been their bounce-back game. We were the bounce-back game for the Rabbitohs. We've been the bounce-back game for many teams before. But the Sharks could have easily used us as like, okay, here we go. Let's slap these guys and let's get back on form because they're in third position. They've beaten the Roosters this year. They've beaten, you know, the Storm as well down at Amy Park. They've beaten all these big-time teams, but they couldn't beat us. So we were able to hold that off. Unfortunately for them, Nico Hines is out injured for a while now too, which is, you know, God bless him, man. He's gone through a tough time. But again, we earned it. We deserved it. And I found this was a better win than last week.
Two questions I've got. I remember the last time you did go, you did have the drum at Coffs Harbour. Did they not allow it in this time?
So, shout out to the Roosters fans here and also the Warriors fans. So, we don't allow any drums into Seabus at the stadium anymore because obviously our fan base is, for people who go to our games, you know that we're always on the back foot atmosphere-wise because other fan bases have had success in the past, which gives them more fans. They can come, they can take over. Last year, the Warriors were able to bring a drum into Seabus Super Stadium and that was awful. That was absolutely awful to deal with. They slaughtered us the entirety of the game. And it gets their fans. So it gives their fans not only the advantage of having more people, but also the noise. So we canned it. Frontline and a few people within the club and the higher end of the club decided that we're not going to let opposition drums in. So we're not going to take our drums elsewhere. So there's been a lot of problems with Roosters fans. Don't worry. It's not going to change. But yeah, that's the reason.
Okay, no, that makes perfect sense. And the other question I had was Sifatalakai's contact on Sam Verrills in the 10th minute. Did you think Sinbin was sufficient? Do you think Sinbin was harsh, or were you thinking send-off at the ground?
Again, so at the ground, we didn't really know because it's so difficult to see from a distance. And there was only one TV working, not on the side that we were. It was on the other corner of the ground. So I can't really – you guys would have more of an idea about that than me because I'm all the way on the other side. I do remember when I went back and had a look at the highlights of the game and whatnot and watched a bit of the game, is that it's definitely at very minimum a sin bin.
Yeah, I saw it live, and you know, without slowing it down, you just saw Sam Verrill's head snap back, and I wasn't sure if that was due to shoulder contact or whiplash. I think the replay was fair that it was mainly whiplash, and I thought the sin bin was sufficient. But when it first happened, I turned to people I was watching the game with, and I said, this is a send-off. That is a send-off. Closer inspection, I'm comfortable that sin bin was the right decision there. My thoughts on the game. You know, we went into halftime 12-0 up, and our key to victory that we gave last week on the podcast was really nailing our start, as we felt that was an area we could expose the Sharks based on their three previous games. So, Desi, if you're a listener, please reach out. No, I'm only joking. Desi has forgot more about football than both of us will ever know combined. He's a mastermind of the game. Really, mate, I've only got a few minor bad points here of where we need to improve. And I'm not doing this to be negative. I'm actually being picky because it was such an unbelievable performance.
I knew you were always a negative Nancy, Clark. I always
It was so unbelievably good, mate, that, you know, we've had games where we've won 34-30, and I've had more good things to say than bad. I'm just so proud of where this team's at the moment. The small points that I have was Tanner at one point. He kicked it dead, and that gave them – we had a bit of momentum at that stage. Then he laid in the ruck a little bit too long and gave them a 7-tackle set. That changed the momentum early on. We had to earn it back, which we did, which was a credit to our players. Just a short concentration lapse there. Their short dropouts, they got the ball back 3 out of 6 times in that first half. I just, you know, that's a 50% clip. Every time the dropout happened, I was like, please just get this one. Please just get this one. We only got it 50%. Big Keenan Palacio, he came on and knocked it on with his first touch. And with 20 to go, Bo Firma pushed Nico Hines and lost his discipline there. And that gave them back the ball, which I thought it could have gone either way with what the ref did. But that's what it is, you know. Now, why am I being so picky? As I said, it was such an unbelievable performance that if you want to talk good points, I don't know where to start. It was so awesome that I have to nitpick and find 4 things that didn't go our way or 4 little areas where we've got to be better. I'm happy with this performance. I'm elated. To back up the Warriors' win, and just do this, you know, we are a club, Blaze, that has really struggled with the weight of expectation. We've lost some games in the past and this year as well that we should not have lost. And so I was actually worried that we might not be able to back up the Warriors game. So the fact we have, man, I am just so happy. And the fact that makes me even more happier, from what I saw in this game, it was almost the same blueprint as what we rolled out against the Warriors. We completed our sets with patience. We scrambled for everything in defense. And if we got it wrong, we just moved on to the next task. We didn't try to overplay our hand the next set or try to get it back or force the issue. We remained patient and cool. And that DNA in our game plan, and if our troops can turn up like they did and continue to roll that out, as we said last week, guys, we're not going to beat every team 66-6. It's not sustainable. But we're going to have some good wins. And I almost feel justified, mate, because 1 week later, we've now beat a top 4 side with that exact same blueprint. So that is just an absolute high point for me. It gets better, though. Earlier this year, when we had these tight games, it was often high scores. I think the Manly and Sormon, both sides were up over 30 points, right? Well, we just held a top 4 side from last year, you know, full strength, relatively full strength. I don't think they were missing anyone, to 16 points. And then we held the Warriors, who were a top 4 side last year, and in the prelims, to 6 points.
And just so to clarify there on the Sharks being full strength is that we still had no Tino, we still had no Jimmy Jolliffe, we still had no AJ Brimson, we still had no Phillip Sami. You know, we've still not got a whole heap of players. So, and also, I know Mally was playing, sorry. Wait, yes, Mally was playing. I can't believe I forgot that. I was actually just going to, just before you move on with your point here, is that I want to interject the 2 interviews that we took after the game with Bowie Firma and also Jojo Fita, because Bowie actually said the same thing as you. Like, we haven't had a back-to-back win yet, and it was really, really good to get that. So you guys can listen here. You can see the subtitles on YouTube if you're on the Spotify and Apple. Sorry, but audio is a bit tough. But check it out on YouTube. Yeah.
With my man Bowie. We've just won two games in a row. We're on form right now. Beat the Sharkies. How are we feeling?
Yeah, mate, unreal. We spoke all week about going back to back. We haven't been able to do that this year. So it's good to back up our performance.
I tell you what, that is a good side.
When did you start?
You know, the Warriors, they were in the prelim last year. Which does do you think Desi's in Prince time?
Yeah, definitely, man. I think we've found the way that we want to play. Yeah, it's a really simple game, but it's one that we've been working really hard to get good at. I think that's starting to show, and hopefully we can keep it up.
Love it, baby.
Slap. Two in a row.
I'm feeling pretty good. I think the boys had a good vibe at the start of the game, which definitely helped. But off to a good start, which definitely helped us. But back to back next year, hopefully.
Absolutely, bro. We're back home. Obviously, you know, we come down here to Cobbs. Haven't won here before. We're coming off a massive win against the Warriors. That must have given you some hunger as well, considering you were in that game. You're in this one.
Yeah, no, definitely. Seeing that I missed that game, it was a high scoring game, and I've seen it play. It's pretty crazy, and I'm just happy to be back, and I'm trying to give it all my all and try to fit it wherever I can.
So safe with the pack today, bro. Like every time the ball was coming there, I just felt like it wasn't going to be dropped, and it wasn't dropped. You know, you did what you needed to do, mate. What do you think the biggest change in the team is this year from the beginning of the year to now?
I think more just confidence, I reckon. After getting a couple of wins under our belt, I think all the boys are starting to realise our actual potential. That's definitely done a show in the game,
especially
this shit. Now that we're back, obviously, yeah, they were saying some really good stuff about the back-to-back and to be able to hold that victory despite, you know, getting that good win the week prior. We could have easily been that bounce back. So what would you say of that as well, considering that's what you were just talking about, is the back-to-back? Would you say, like the boys have said, that this is a really good platform now that we know that we can actually go and get that back-to-back win?
100%, man. That's what makes it so exciting. The things that we're seeing as fans from the outside looking in is exactly what the club is working on and the direction we're going in under Desi Hasler. And I just feel in the past, as a fan base, we actually have been a little bit disconnected because we couldn't see the vision and we couldn't see where this side was going. All we had was false hope at times and, you know, hope. Yeah, exactly right. And so now that we're fans looking from the outside and we can see that vision being played out in front of our eyes, it's so exciting. And I know I said we turned a corner earlier in the season. We've turned another corner here, guys, because whilst it is fun to compete with tough sides like the Storm, Seagulls, Raiders, and get into high-scoring battles and score plenty of points, most footy fans know to win a premiership, your defense has to be spot on, right? And that's where our biggest improvement has come this past fortnight. Despite so many setbacks, it's exciting times, mate.
Yeah, I think that the main thing that I want to kind of put here is that in this day and age of the NRL, you can clearly tell, and Clark and I watch more than just the Titans. I watch every single game due to YouTube, and so does he with his Instagram and whatnot, Facebook. But the thing that I notice is that the Warriors had an unbelievable year last year out of nowhere, right? And then have returned back to being a little bit of a cellar dweller, not to the extent, but being down that area again the very next year. The Cowboys in 2022, they had a stellar year, got to the preliminary final, same as the Warriors. And next year, they kind of went down back into that same category and were down there in the bottom half. And I feel like you're seeing so many of these teams just go rocket like that and then kind of automatically think that they're already successful. And then that's where their downfall is and they get complacent. The beauty of what we're seeing with the Titans right now is that, yes, we were awful in game one, game two, game four against the Bulldogs, the Dragons, the Bulldogs, and then the Dolphins. We were awful. Then we started to slowly compete in games. The Cowboys was a great turnaround up there in North Queensland. Then there was the robbery in Canberra. You know, then we had like Manly in Melbourne and whatnot. And then we won in New Zealand. And then we kept still going through this grindy result. And now we've gone through that grind area, that slow build up, and we're starting to reap the success now. It may be a little bit too late for this year. It probably is a little bit too late for this year. We're not going to give up complete hope. But the point of the matter is that you have been able to see the building process rather than just being an immediate thing, which is a better long-term sustainability for success. So the opposition fans won't see that or care about that. But Titans fans, you have seen the slow build towards this way. So just kind of keep that momentum going. Would you agree with what I just said?
100%, mate. Once Desi Hasler gets a side to the finals, you often see them thereabouts the top for a number of years. Bulldogs 2012 grand final, 2014. Manly, whilst he was there, were dominant for a long period. So it's not like Todd Payton or Andrew Webster, a rookie coach that comes in with all this enthusiasm. The players buy in, skyrocket, and then it's not really sustainable. The sides aren't the same the next
year. That's what I think the Bulldogs are doing this year. That's what I think the Bulldogs are doing right now. Because they were just bang. You know, I think that, you know, turn around next year and they'll go back down to a Cowboys and Warriors.
Well, the rookie coach theory checks out there as well, because Cameron Serrato is still not a rookie, rather, but inexperienced as a head coach, it must be said. But that's what that is exciting as well, mate, because, yeah, once Desi Hasler gets a side to finals contention, they don't drop out for a number of years. They are always up and around there. So super, super exciting times ahead for the Gold Coast Titans, whether it's this year, next year. We all see the vision playing out. It's super exciting. Alrighty, mate, it's time to give our 3-2-1s for the front line's finest leaderboard. I'll kick us off first with my 3 points. I went Kieran Foran. I just thought in this game, stats aside, he literally led the way with all the one percenters in his game. And when I talked about remaining patient and not making an error and then, you know, chasing it and going after it and following up with more errors, he was a big reason for that. He was so composed in this game. He is the most experienced and, with respect, the most broken member of our spine, yet he sets the example in everything he does, on and off the ball, in defense, attack. It doesn't matter what a player Kieran Foran is. He gets my 3 points this round, and who gets yours?
Yeah, mine goes to Kieran Foran as well. I think that it's a pretty simple one. I think the only negative stat that he did have was the fact that he missed tackles. He missed 8 tackles. But also, when you're seeing halves go up there towards the 23 tackles that he made, you're seeing halves usually miss a few tackles as well. Don't worry. Guys like Dearden, guys like Luai, all these big-time players, Cleary is probably the best for it, but can still miss 5 tackles in a game because they are dealing with some big boppers with a smaller body, right? So Kieran Foran missed some tackles, but he also made a whole heap. But the stats do obviously favour him. 2 tackle breaks in this game. He had a try assist, he had a line break assist, he had a line break. And did what he needed to do on the ground as well. So, yeah, I thought Kieran Foran was clearly the leader in this team, and it was really impressive to see Kieran Foran move along in this game.
I loved watching Foz in this one, and to know that, or to see reports that he was re-signing that we now know is official, was awesome as well. 2 points for me, Blaze. Keanu Kinney didn't have as many attacking stats as we've seen in the past and in previous rounds, but it was his willingness to take the tough carry. There were times where we were really tight in the wet conditions of Coffs, and he just came in and had the hit up. It reminded me a lot of Dylan Edwards. Not flashy, just a ton of grit and effort and a really, really durable display where he's willing to turn up throughout the full 80 minutes. So Keanu gets my 2 points. Who's going to get yours?
Yeah, I went with Keanu as well. So on the post that we do every week on Clarkie's Rugby League column about our Dally M, which we go through every game and do our 3-2-1s, I was really impressed by someone who commented on it. So I think we both gave Keanu our 2 points on there, with you giving Jesse Raymond your 1 point, which is fair enough. But Keanu was both of our two. And someone said, like, if Keanu had been playing since the start of the season in kind of, what did they say again? They said something like, oh, he could have been up there in the count if he started from round one all the way through. There on the count to actually potentially win a Dally M, which I thought was absolutely crazy because that person wasn't a Titans fan. So it's really, really good to see the people are really recognising that. I think that if you were at the stadium at Coffs Harbour, you know it was dewy, you know it was wet, you know it poured down at one stage and then kind of stayed away for the entirety of the game, which was nice. But he ran for 205 metres. And 205 metres with 63 post-contact is really, really impressive for a guy of his size. 7 tackle breaks in this game as well. You know, he's really coming to his own, and I think we all pinpoint him becoming who he is based off of that try in the Knights game. Since then, the form has been really, really found. He struggled early on, but the whole team did. So if the Titans were playing like this since the start, it could actually have been a chance. And obviously, we'll talk about it later on. I guarantee you someone's going to ask about it, but you can't drop him. You just can't drop him from the fullback. You have to keep him as the fullback. I know AJ's back. You can't drop him.
It's a really, really tough dilemma we're going to have to discuss through later. I love Kinney. I mean, you know, you started this year, our whole team played poor in rounds 1 and 2 against the Dragons and Doggies. And the hate that came towards Keanu Kinney of, you know, he's been fraud checked. He's not the player we all thought he was. It was just crazy. You know, we saw him go back to Tweed for a small period there, and he dominated that level 2 tries, 3 tries, assists in 1 game, and set up a 40-plus point victory for Tweed. And since that point, since he's come back in the NRL, I think he's proved a lot of those haters wrong, and they've come back around for Kinney, as would be expected. My one point, Bo Fermor. Put him at centre, back row, prop, halfback. I actually don't care anymore. I just want Bo Fermor in our starting 13. He is just a gun. A proper gun, mate. A lot of his meters as well, like we see centers often get up around the 200 meter mark from breaks. You look at Bo's meters, I think it was around the 160 mark, but there was a lot of post contact meters as well.
177
for Bo, so higher than I thought. But there's a lot of post contact meters in there for Bo as well. Like these weren't easy meters. He was coming in and 83, so that's almost half of his meters earned were post contact. And I like that because it shows he's coming in from the centres to give our forwards a break and take a tough carry. I love that from Bo. The way he applied himself to his ACL rehabilitation, worked so hard last year, and has gotten back to this level of form so quickly. It's really, really impressive. So more than happy to see Bo get my one point here. And who are you locking in for yours?
I got Bo Fermor as well. I thought that it was incredible. I think that everyone's talking about Keanu, AJ, JC. What a Bo Fermor at fullback, you know? He can play anywhere. It's just, you know, this guy is an absolute machine. As you guys heard before, we spoke to him after the game. You know, real humble guy. And, yeah, look, Bowie, he has really started to find himself because he was having a bit of poor form when he came back from injury. You know, obviously he had, was it ACL last year?
It was, yeah, ACL in the preseason too.
ACL last season, or was it Achilles or ACL? Well, it might have been ACL. Just ACL. Yeah. So, yeah, he obviously comes back this year. And, no, it's great to see that he's really turned his form around because he did struggle early doors. But now, like you said, 83 post-contact with 177 meters made, four tackle breaks in the game. Had seven, or I thought it said seven dummy passes for him, which I would have been like, that's crazy. but one offload in his game, only missed the two tackles from 10. In total. So, yeah, I will give it to Bo, but a couple of honourable mentions that I have to give a shout-out to as well. So, Bo's going to be my one. Aaron Clark, he's been unbelievable this year. He's an honourable mention. 91 metres, 40 post-contact. So, nearly half of his metres are post-contact. The guy's a machine. Three tackle breaks. Also had 19 tackles and did not miss a single tackle in this game. And then, obviously, had that barking at Nico. So, Aaron Clark, massive, massive shout-out. I thought JoJo was so safe at the back. Really, really good stuff. Maybe not so incredible attacking-wise, but safe at the back and defensively. Seven tackles, one miss. Fantastic there. And then I also do think that you're starting to see Keenan really get into this team. I know that he made that mistake, but you are starting to see Keenan with his limited minutes getting back into a good state of mind there. So, and also shout-out to Tan. There's been a little bit of hate for him online, but I think that Tan's also had a pretty decent enough game. He's not going to start for us when... You know, all those guys are fit and healthy, but he's an incredible depth option right now, man. He is a great depth option.
Completely agree. And can play six or seven for us, and I still feel confident enough with him there. So I love that Tanner came in and did a great job there. I don't think he missed. Did he miss any goals?
He did not miss. How dare you even assume that Tanner would miss? He wish.
Mate, you know I had to get that one in. Alrighty, guys, stay with us. We've got one more area.
Did you see my Instagram story after the game with Tan?
I did see it. Yeah, it's awesome. It's great that he's in on the joke.
I think I have. I definitely have. But somebody keeps, and I was like, no, have you ever seen on BKS Sports? He's like, oh, no, I have not. And I said, well, have you missed? He goes, no. It's so good.
And then, of course, as fans, we're always going to clip the part where he says, no, not the first part, and go with that one. Yeah, alrighty, guys, stay with us. We're going to do one more recap. We're going to look at our affiliates this time, and then we will go into our preview for this Eels game, which we're all excited for. So Tweed Seagulls, unfortunately, they do go down to the Mackay Cutters, 14 points to 20, which probably does mark season over at this point for the Seagulls. But winner, Falcon dinner, our Jets clean up the Sunshine Coast Falcons, 12 to 10 points, and record their second win of the season. Neither side moves on the ladder. Tweed remain in 13th. The Jets are in 14th. How did our Tweed players go this round, Blaze?
Yeah, just a quick shout-out. Obviously, the winners of the sky, the leaders of the sky is the Jets. Jets take out those damn well Falcons, son. If a Jet is taking on a head-on-head, like head-to-head, a Falcon, I think the Jets winning. I feel like the Jet might be winning. It clearly did. So that's just a little bit of a side point there. But in regards to Tweed, we had Tommy Weaver, 40 metres from 8 runs. We had a line break assist, 2 try assists, 2 tackle breaks, and 15 tackles. Did have 5 missed and 263 metres kicked. So you do want to see probably a bit more meters kicked there. The tackles to tackles missed does make sense for a half. But you do love those two try assists, the line break assists and the tackle breaks there. Isaac, he leads the tackle count for 31 in 43 minutes, 43 metres run and two errors. So do want to see that. Well, is more metres than minutes, but you do want to see, it's the same metres than minutes. You want to see a little bit more out of there from Isaac. But the defense on him, the tackle count was fantastic. And yeah, there we go. So had the Jets do.
Yeah, our Jets players, Kenny Amalo, 203 metres, 81 post-contact. He made four tackle breaks, but did make the two errors. Ryan Foran, he's back. He played 80 minutes again at back row, made 73 metres from eight runs. He had 32 tackles for four missed and just the one error. Harley Smith-Shields, he returned from his pec injury. He had 175 metres from 16 runs. He made 15 tackles where he only missed one and had one error. And Arama Howe, he played 72 minutes at lock. He had 97 metres from 12 runs and he had 20 tackles for five missed. Which Titan do you reckon stood out for you the most this week in our reserve grades?
I think the one that's probably stood out most for me would be... look, I'm probably actually going to go with Tommy Weaver. Marlowe's a close second there with the 203 metres, 81 post-contact and four tackle breaks, but I would have to go with Tommy Weaver there with the line break assist, with the two try assists and the two tackle breaks. I think that he stood out the most for me there. But again, Marlowe is probably a close second.
Yeah, okay. I've got Tommy Weaver as our most improved, particularly his last two games. They haven't been his strongest. But my best player, I'm going to go Harley Smith-Shields. You know, only missed the one tackle there and made 15 and put in 175 metres, which is a fair clip there at reserve grade level. And it was his first game back from that pec injury, which we all thought would originally end his season. So unbelievable to see Harley back. And that's a great game when you first game back from a serious injury. This week, guys, Saturday, 5 past 3pm, Tweed play the Magpies. That's at Cbus Super Stadium as a curtain raiser to our Eels game. So you will be there and others should get there if they can. And the Jets are back at home at Ipswich against the Clydesdales, which, if you guys aren't tracking, are the only side lower than them on the ladder. So a chance to...
Oh, it's the Battle of the Spooners. Well. It's the Battle of the Spoon, yeah.
3 p.m. on Sunday. It's the Spoon Bowl. Unfortunately, this one's not on Channel 9 or 9 now. It's only on Q+ if you want to stream it. All righty, preview time next round. This is what everyone loves. This is what we love. Let's talk about our game against the Eels this Saturday at 5:30 p.m. Jaden Campbell is back, so Tanner Boyd drops out. AJ Brimson is listed as 18th man and could return. Cleese Haas is back, as is Philip Sami there. For the Eels, few changes for them. Mitchell Moses is off on origin duty. Ronaldo Mulitalo's little brother, Lorenzo debuts, and Blaise Talangi shifts to the center. So a few changes for both sides. But the biggest thing we need to discuss, if Brimson is declared fit, how does he fit into our best 17 for this game, in your opinion?
How dare you? How dare you ask me this question? You put me on the spot with this question. This is the hardest thing that ever existed. Just a quick, firstly, the team list means Jack, in my opinion. This team list means Jack. I think that Desi's been Desi, but like Desi on steroids, basically, because this is going to just jack up on Saturday. 1 hour beforehand, we don't know what's happened until 1 hour beforehand. And I think that Des is sitting back. If you're listening right now, Desi, firstly, it's been great to see him open up with the fans at the club and be a lot more. You can see his happiness is really starting to come out, which is great to see from big old Desi. But yeah, look, I think that if I was to select it, look, on my personal beliefs, because again, I just don't think somebody's going to be on the interchange. But AJ, where does he go? Where's he go? Like, you could see there is actually still, apparently Desi said to AJ that his sentence is done. Apparently he said that. So, because you could easily say that Bobby Firmer goes back to the back row and then you put AJ in the center there. I could still see JC more so being that 14, AJ going into the 5-8, and then Isaac Liu coming out there, or Jacob Arlick. I'm not too... This is really, really difficult. I'm going to say something that could be completely off charts here. I'm going to say that AJ comes in at the... Oh, does he go to... I just don't think you can drop Keanu based on his form. I don't think you can. I don't think you can. I will say that... Oh, man, this is so difficult.
I can give you mine and you can react if that's
easier.
Yeah,
you do yours. You do yours. Yeah, yeah.
All right, I'm putting AJ Brimson to fullback and Keanu Kinney drops back to the bench. Bo Firmo is shifting to back row. That pushes Cleese Haas to lock and Chris Randall to the bench. Philip Sami comes off the bench into the centres. And I think the rest of the side remains the same.
But do you think? But do you think that's changing too much of a winning team? Like, we've won two games in a row. You're then changing our fullback, who has been clearly one of our best players for the last two games, and putting in a guy that is arguably our best fullback, but also hasn't played footy in 8 weeks. You then also, Chrissy Randall has been fantastic in the lock, and then you're pushing Cleese to the 13, despite the fact that, you know, he's had an injury recently, but he also deserved it, Cleese. He's been underrated recently. I don't know. I just think that I wouldn't want to change too much of a winning formula. And if you change, especially in the spine.
I'll be honest, man. I'm more than happy with my decision to bench Kinney. I think that's the only real controversial one. I think, you know, Chris Randall can live with coming off the bench. He'll come on pretty early anyway in that 25-minute mark and play most of the rest of the game. Or it could be Sam Verrills who drops back to the bench and he goes to hooker. But, mate, I'm more than comfortable. Like, there's still a pecking order at this club. For as good as Keanu Kinney has been these past few weeks, I can't have Brimo ride the bench. I can't do it to someone who's the second longest signed player at our club, who still would be the fullback if not for injury. I just think it sets a really bad standard for the club. And I actually learned this from, I think it was Blake Austin, the former NRL player for the Raiders. So I think you and I were both saying something like, why is Zach Hosking being put back to the bench when Whitehead returns? When Whitehead is, you know, nowhere near as good a form as Hosking. And my argument was that I agreed with you, and I said that you bring Elliot Whitehead from the bench because he doesn't have the match fitness yet. And that's what I believed. And I think Blake Austin corrected us both and said it's about setting standards at the club. If the coach goes and puts the captain on the bench, what message does that send to the rest of the players in terms of being safe? So as the rookie or the young guy, in this case, Keanu Kinney, you have to be the fall guy, fall on your sword and accept that you're coming off the bench.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, you remember that? It was like, I remember he commented something to do with that on our Instagram post that we did. So, look, I'm going to go with that line of thought, and it's definitely up for debate.
I think that you're probably more right in regards to what Desi does, but I think that if you're going to change the spinal position, I think the one spinal position that is actually, that hasn't been proven by any means yet, is the six. It is the six, because the nine has been Sammy Verrills, seven has been Kieran Foran, and the one has been Keanu. But the six has changed through Tanner Boyd's hands. It's changed through JC's hands. It's changed through Tommy Weaver's hands. It's changed through AJ's hands. And I think that if you were to bring AJ back in, I think that JC is more of a utility than anybody else, right? So you could easily... It's just that the only thing that really stinks about JC off the bench is that we're getting the thought process of Justin Holbrook, because Holbrook would put him on the bench and would barely ever use him. And that's the one thing that really got me about Justin, is that he wouldn't use JC right. I think that JC can be used really, really well from that 14. I think AJ needs to be on the field. With that being said, the JC's got a better high-kicking game, but also AJ's got a really, really good kicking game on the field, probably a better low-kicking game. I don't know. I personally would say that I could see more of JC being 14 than AJ being 14. So I would put AJ 6 and JC 14, but just using better than what Justin did. I think that that's what needs to be done. But again, I think that they'll probably go with Keanu, like you said, off onto the bench as the 14. I just don't think you change too much the spine then, man, because you're changing two spinal positions then.
Let me play devil's advocate. So Jaden Campbell, the only reason he wasn't there last week was because he broke his hand. And in breaking his hand early in the Titans game, he played through that pain and broke our all-time record for the most points ever scored in a game, setting up some and scoring some himself in a beautiful performance. So I think it could be argued that's unfair to JC to say, well, now you've got to come back via the bench, even though you made history last time playing injured for us. I think that's unfair as well. Like, someone has to be the loser here, and someone is going to feel like it's unfair. It's as simple as that, no matter what we do. I think that's the ultimate takeaway. Look, let's park that there, because we could probably keep chatting about it for ages. There's no right answer, because all three bring different strengths.
I want to put this out here. I want to put this out as well for people listening, is that you're going to have a different opinion to us. That doesn't make us wrong. Doesn't make you wrong. It doesn't make us right and or you wrong, right, whatever. Point of matter is that everyone's got their own opinions. The only opinion that really matters in this situation is Desi. So whatever Desi does decide on Saturday, provided AJ is fit and healthy. But whatever DC does decide on Saturday, you just have to agree with and you just have to live with. At the end of the day, I don't care what gets done as long as Desi knows what he's doing. And I know he knows what he's doing. I trust him what he's doing. So, I would say that you're going to have opinions. We're going to have opinions. You're going to agree with one of us. You're going to disagree with both of us. It don't really matter at the end of the day. What matters is Desi.
And I'll add to that, if you do disagree and want to have your say, that's why we have the speak pipe. Jump on anonymously if you wish, or leave your name and leave your thoughts there and we can react to it. And
trust me, we've heard it all, man. We're not going to get offended. We've heard everything that could possibly be said. When you're in the online world and you're a creator, bigger creator, you get slapped. So don't worry, you won't offend us. It's all opinions at the end of the day.
100%. And we want to hear from our frontline family always and engage in that debate wherever we can. Alrighty, on to this game with the Eels, mate. So we met them twice last year. Officially, we went 1-for-1 with them. One game was decided by a field goal, which we were chipped in. Let's just call it how it is. And the other was decided by 2 points in magic round. We meet them for the first time this year. Do you expect this to be a tight game? Or do you think we're going to blow them out of the park? Break it down for me. How are you seeing this one?
I do worry. I always get worried with this team just like going full on out, right? Because I've done this many a time. I do think that there is a vibe, and I can definitely tell from my interactions with the boys and the coaching staff and Steve Mitchell, our CEO and whatnot. I haven't seen Dennis Watt in a while. I saw the Rebecca Frizzell and Brad Frizzell there, which was great to see on the weekend. And they were just awesome. You know, it's always great. So you haven't seen Daryl for a little bit, but I think that the vibe is there. I've never actually kind of experienced and felt this vibe around this club. Despite 2021 happening, I think COVID played a part there as well, though. 2020, COVID definitely played a part. 2010, we were all too young and kind of didn't care enough because it was only three, four seasons into the club's history. The vibe wasn't there like it is now. We all care now. We are all well and truly too deep and invested now. So for me, I am going in confident because I've never felt this vibe. And I think that this vibe is super strong in saying that we are a better team now. I think that we, not only do we have to win this game, but we have to win this game well. To quickly go on here in regards to the ladder, we are in 15th position on 16 points. Now, there are quite a few buyers this week. They're all mainly for the big-time teams, right? So that the Storm, the Panthers, the Roosters, the Dogs, the Cowboys, the Raiders, and the Warriors all have the buy. So they're all teams that we just don't have to worry about for 1 week. If we want to make the eight, we've got a minus 67 points differential. The current eighth place team is the Cowboys, who we beat, mind you, on 1 point differential. Now, they also have a buy to come, which won't change their points differential. So we need to win this game well. And not like a Warriors game, but we just need to win this game damn well to keep us in the hunt. It's not about making it. It's about keeping us in the hunt to show us our progression. So I think that with them losing Mitchell Moses in the halfback, with them losing Junior Bolo, a Origin and international for Samoa and also for New South Wales, they've got debutants in this game. They've got Dejan Arce, who their fans have thrown shade at for a long time. They've got a whole team that just makes mistakes and has been thumped for a long time. We have to win this and win this game well. And for a long time, this was the Tigers were our second best winning record over. It used to be the Eels. And then it's changed in recent years with the Tigers. I think that we should go into this game with the expectation of winning by a decent margin. However, we did go in with that against the Rabbitohs. We did go in with that against the Tigers. So that's what does worry me. But I just think that we have turned up of a corner here to give us that backing from the past. So I will say that we win this game well.
I'm really excited for this game, man, because the question is being asked, can the Titans win 3 in a row? And to be perfectly honest, I can't remember the last time we were asked that question. Like, are we going back to 2021?
Well, we won 2020, 5 games in a row.
Yeah. So we're going back like 2 to 4 years. There might have been a stretch where we won in between that. I don't know. But the fact I can't remember is probably not a good indication, right? So that makes me really excited. And as I pointed out last week, we have struggled really since our existence with handling pressure and backing up a level of expectation against us. But we did that really well against the Sharks. We answered that question coming off a historic win against the Warriors. And so we come up against an Eels side here at home, who are missing Mitchell Moses, who have a winger on game 2 and a debutant on the other wing. They've got a bench of Sean Lane, Luke Mreddy, and Bryce Cartwright, who are all well behind their best this year, as is their forward leader in Regan Campbell-Gillard. And I'm feeling really, really confident. I look towards our coach versus their coach. And Des Hasler has been awesome this year. Trent Barrett, his motivation as head coach couldn't be any lower right now. This week, he got the news that he's being replaced by Jason Riles. He will not get the top job like he hoped. And there's no guarantee he's even going to be an assistant coach next year. The players are begging in the media saying, we want to keep him on. So his motivation could quite literally not be lower right now for someone like Trent Barrett. The only reason why I'm hesitant to tip us, mate, is we don't really have, you know, an origin-worthy back rower. Actually, we do have one, but he had a really slow start to the preseason, like Billy Slater said. Even though it's round 19 now. Sorry, I had to throw that one out again. I reckon Dave Fifita is going to absolutely leave his mark on this contest.
I'm captaining him on Supercoach.
Great call. He is going to remind the whole state of Queensland who he is, and he's going to make the whole state of New South Wales go, thank God we don't have to play him on Wednesday night. Now, I went ahead and had a look at the stats. Everyone's already saying it. Well, he's just going to put an exclamation mark at the end of it. So I went to the Eels' last five games, and on their left edge in that time, they're conceding 10 tries to wingers, centres, and back rowers. Now, that left edge is Kieran Foran, Brian Kelly, Alofiana Khan-Prera, who leads this competition for tries, and big Dave Fifita. We are going to have an absolute field day down that left side of the field. I'm so excited. And
is that the side of Sean Russell?
It will be the side of...
like where Sean Russell was. I know he's been dropped. Is that the side Blaise where Sean Russell was?
It'll be the side of Blaise Talangi, who was dropped earlier this year for his performance in the centres defensively, and debutant Lorenzo Mulitalo.
Oh, mate, we should slap that side on that edge.
And Dejan Arce as defensive halfback.
If we don't, I'm going to flip out. I'm making a promise to you guys here on the podcast. If we don't tear that up, I'm going to lose my head next week, mate. I'm going to lose.
Oh, mate.
You're going to see me at this stadium. The drum is going up in the air, mate. Yeah. I'm throwing it somewhere, something.
If we can't decimate their left edge, then I don't know what. I'm not going to say that I'm going to move to Uzbekistan because that has happened at one stage or another this season. But I will be.
Move to Uzbekistan, Uzbekistan, yeah.
Yes. I'll be utterly shocked, mate. Look, that's more than two tries per game they're conceding in their past five down that edge. And that's not including other tries, of course. That's literally just that one corridor. They're conceding at least two every game. So we've got to back Alofiana Khan-Prera in to score. BK will be dangerous like he always is, as will Dave. I went through the stats and they actually don't favour us too much here. We haven't beat the Eels at Cbus in 7 years and they have only lost once to us in the past 9 years. That was at Magic Round last year. But I seriously believe in our
side. 9 years?
Yeah, they've only lost one game. Nine games. I said years. Yeah, that's way too long.
They cheated the salary cap to come last like twice in that 9 years.
Yes. I think the only side we haven't beaten in a while with a store Rabbitohs would be how long. That's right. I remember that stat. Sorry, guys. They've only lost to us once in their last 9 games. So the stats think the Eels will win here, but I tell you what, this is a new Titans side that I fully believe in. I'm getting behind us and I'm saying Titans 13 plus. Dave Fifita will score and I think Alofiana Khan-Prera will score as well. Those are my predictions for the game, mate. What are your final predictions?
Yeah, I'm going 13 plus, and I think that there is no excuses for us. We could either go and prove that we are the same team from the last 10 years, the last 15 years, this game by losing to an absolutely subpar team that is currently battling the Tigers for the spoon. Fun fact, everybody, we're looking at round 27. The Eels play the Tigers at Leichhardt, I think it is. Whoever loses that game right this very second would come last, right? So it's like the Eels and Titans in 2011. We're starting to get a kind of vibe here. Eels. Only 13 years apart. In between, they won a couple of spoons. So, this team, there is no way that we should be losing to what this team is. There's absolutely no way. And if we do, we're the same team as old. But if we win this game, not only do we have a chance at the final still, you're just going to keep on winning. We then take on Manly at Brookie, which is a place that we are infamous for doing well in. We take on the Dolphins team that looks like Wayne Bennett doesn't care anymore and they're just completely plummeting. And we haven't beaten them before, but the fact of the matter is there is a little bit of hype there. And then I think we play the Broncos at home at Cbus Super Stadium. So, you know, things are starting to turn around if we win this game. But I say to people all the time, take it one step at a time, one game at a time, because if we lose this game, done. If we win this game, we're still on. So we have to win this game. There's no excuses to lose this game. They've got their best player out in Mitchell Moses. Jacob Bolo hasn't been great. What we need to do, though, and the key to victory in this one, and again, I'm taking Titans Stone Plus, is to limit the offloads, because the Eels are known as an offloading team. All they do is offload. This team creates so many errors because of their offloads. So capitalize on that. Eels do too many offloads. It's just offload, 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 offload. With that being said, Junior Bolo is the one who usually does that. So I don't know. I'm really confident about this game. Really confident. There's no way we should lose. And if we do, it's a disgrace.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, you've got me excited when I'm bringing up the draw right now. And I'm just licking my lips at these future games. And I could probably take this conversation a million different ways. So I will park it. But I'm so excited.
The last 3 weeks, though.
Yeah, that's where it gets tough. But yeah, no, I'm so excited, man, with where the side's at the moment. And I cannot wait for this game against the Eels. I think it's going to be a great win for our side. Alrighty, guys, let's move into our Phone the Frontline section. If you want to be heard on the podcast and have your voice message played out and reacted to, the link to do so is in the description of this, whether you're listening as a podcast or as a YouTube video. Alrighty, guys, our first message is 14 seconds long this week, and it comes to us from Adam Brown, who is a big Titans fan as well.
Clarkie and Blaze, quick question for you guys. Where do you see Brimson fitting in with Campbell and Kinney between now until the end of the season? Cheers.
I'm going to stick with what I said before. I mean, yeah, we covered this in depth, so I'll stick with what I said before. Kinney has to be our 14. He can play wing as well. Might be able to play centres, I'm not sure. Brimson's my fullback. JC's my 5/8. And then I think next year that issue becomes even larger. Because where does Carter Gordon fit into that with Kieran Foran re-signed? So that's my answer, mate. What's yours?
Oh, we just disappeared on my screen for a little second there. Just completely started loading. Yeah, I had to go by what I said before. I think what I said before is my opinion. I think your option is probably what Desi might do and probably what Desi will do. But I think that he's tossing and turning at night right now. I think he really is. I think he is tossing and turning. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what that team lineup is now before kickoff on Saturday. It's an opinion. What are you doing with the screen? I know you've got Brimson on. What are you doing with the screen? Buddy G, with his massive muffin.
Shout out to the Brim Dog.
There's a Daddy Brim Dog. But, yeah, look, I will say my opinion is that I prefer Keanu 1 with AJ 6 and JC 14, but I think Desi probably will go with what you said.
Love it. No right or wrong answers. All are equally good in their own ways. Our next one comes from Jesse. It's 15 seconds long and he runs a crappy Instagram account.
Hey, guys. It's Bestball 2.0. Yeah. I'm just going to glaze real quick. I love both of you. You're doing great content. Just a quick question. In the forwards and in the backs, who has been your most underrated Titans player this year? Keep up the good work. Yeah.
You know, Jesse, I was only joking about the page, mate, and I was hoping no one would get the reference of your page, but then you said your page, so now I feel bad.
Well, I said it beforehand, so I was like, oh, it's best sport, isn't it? It's best sport.
Yeah, we absolutely stitched him up there. Great question, man.
Do you want me to go first?
You can go first. I want to go across to our team list and think about it.
All right, in regards to forwards, I think it's pretty easily done. I think that when it comes to the wider NRL audience before he got injured, it was Jamie Joloff, I think, was absolutely unbelievable. I think that he was superbly underrated until he had his, I think it was pec injury that comes back in like round 22 or whatnot against, I think, Sharkies or something at Seabass. Right now, a player that I would say is underrated within the Titans is actually Cleese Haas. I think that he was superb in regards to what he was doing before his injury, and I think that he's still going to be superb. I think another one to shout out would be Chrissy Randall. He's definitely underrated in regards to the wider NRL audience for sure. He does some fantastic stuff. So that's our forwards. Backs-wise, it's really difficult. I don't think that there is anybody superbly underrated because for the backs.
Yeah, I agree with you on Cleese Haas, so that's my answer there. For backs, I'm going to say JoJo Fifita, man. I don't think many people had JoJo in their starting 17 at the start of this year. But now, you know, no one's saying, let's put Jael Kinney on the wing or Brimson in the centres and push Sammy to the wing. Everyone's saying, like, JoJo has to be there on the wing. He's been awesome this year, man. Tore the Tigers up in that first 30 minutes. He's safe at the back in the following week, 2 weeks later, rather, against the Sharks, like you said. I've got JoJo for my most underrated.
No, I'd agree with you. No, 100%. I think JoJo is probably the only one that we really can say. So I'd go JoJo as well. I guess a bit of a shout out would be to Harley Smith-Shields, who was doing some great work when he was playing, but then obviously got injured. I will agree with you with JoJo.
Absolutely. Thank you for that one, Jesse. And shout out to Best Sport 2.0 on Instagram. Nice little funny page there that the players all love. This next one's 16 seconds long and it's anonymous. Let's play it now.
Yeah, mate, this is Cryptic and up the bloody storm, brother. Up the storm, cuz. How ye, lads? How ye, brother? This is the baby. Mwah, little mother, little puppy, little mother, little puppy, little puppy, little mother, man.
So, okay, so I know that's someone from my audience because whenever I read out Ryan Poppenhausen's name, I go, little mama, little puppy, little mama, little puppy, little mama, little puppy, little puppy, little mama, man. So I know that person is from my I don't know who that is, but all I know is they came from me. We're not playing the Storm right now. We also don't play the Storm again this year. We don't care about the Melbourne Storm. So thank you for your little mama, little puppy, little mama, little puppy, little mama, little puppy, little puppy, little mama, man. But we don't care right now, so...
no comment
from
me.
What do you have to say, Dane?
No comment. This next one's from William, and it's 14 seconds long.
Hello. When do you think David Fafita will pull his weight for the Titans and start underperforming? Thank you, Clarky.
Well, you didn't even get a mention, so...
I don't want to mention in that one. No, I don't. Yeah, want fair to enough. Mention. You can have the mention all you want.
I don't. You claimed the last guy from your community. I ain't claiming the anonymous. Oh, William.
You're claiming him, mate. He's yours.
This next one is from Corey. Something about Dave Fafita. I don't know. This next one's from Corey Gregory. It's 33 seconds long. Corey has been a member of the Titans fan club on Facebook group for a number of years now, right? I recognize that name.
You say this every single time. Every single time.
I've got such bad memory.
He's from Townsville. Yeah, he's a Titans fan from Townsville.
Alrighty, Corey, we love you. I just don't have good memory. I was going to say we don't have good memory. That's not true. Let's play it, Corey.
One, two. Who can guess what comes after two? You got it. I know you got it. Three, that's right. Three, baby. Three's our number this week, and we're going to smash them. We've got AJ Brimo back. We have Sammy back. And don't forget, we have the best Haas in the business, and he's playing as well. Super excited. So keen to see Parramatta go down. Hope you boys have a good one, eh? Yo! Cheers, boys.
I love how he knew that we both were doing this when we were both doing that. And he's like, yeah, you got it.
There's a bit about this bloke, Corey. I rate him a lot. I like where his head's at. I love where this club's at.
He's a Wales fan, though, to be careful.
This next one is from Appa, and it goes for 7 seconds.
In order for the Titans to be real premiership contenders, what position do you think they could improve on this offseason?
We already are premiership contenders there, Alpha. No, in all seriousness, mate, I think our roster's pretty strong.
How much premiership muscle we already have, mate? Oh, my God. The fabric of our reality is so close to just exploding. That's how much premiership muscle we have currently.
Yeah. Oh, mate, that's why I reacted the way I did. Look, I'm happy with where we're at, man. I really think that we can play finals next year and contend pushing for that top four. I'm not comfortable we'll be in it because it's super tough to crack. But, man, if you want to say fifth, sixth, home final, whatever, I'm there for it. I think this the question first. We get this question a lot, right, man? And I think this question is going to become more prevalent next year if Foran says, hey, this is my last year, I'm retiring. Because then all of a sudden it's like, holy crap, is Carter Gordon ready to be a seven? Is Brimson a halfback? Is JC a 5/8? Where does Kinney fit in?
Foran isn't going to say that until at the very least halfway through the season. Like, he's not going to come out. The only time he will come out and say this is my last season is if he needs to get a rise out of the boys to keep on going for his last season. Because the boys are when they respect him. So just to carry on with your point, and I'm interrupting you, but just to carry on with your point is that I don't think that there is some... I think that if there was anything, it would be the halfback, as you've just said there. But we have got Carter Gordon coming in. We've got this whole plethora with JC, AJ and whatnot. You wouldn't say Keanu in the halves, so that's why it left him out. We've got a world-class front row of Tino, Moeke Fotowaker, Jimmy Jolliffe, you know, Palacio, these big boppers, Isaac Fasamaloa in the reserves. That's how quality our front rowers are. Back rowers, we've got Dave Fafita, we've got Bowie Firma, you know, Kalees Haas as well. Or the lock, you know, you've got Kalees Haas, Chrissy Randall, you know, the hookers, we've got both Chrissy Randall and Sammy Verrills. You know, if you wanted an attacking hooker, then there's that option. But in the same sense, I think that we do a great job what we do now. And I love what Sammy Verrills is doing at this club. And the back line, we've got too many fullbacks. If we went out and got a fullback, I'm punching on someone because we've already got enough conundrums, enough problems with how many fullbacks we have right now. We don't need them. So, and yeah, I think we've got enough depth in the wings and centers. So, like, yeah, I think we're fine.
I agree. I think it's about keeping this roster together. And depending on what Foran's decision is next year, that's when we need to start planning around that and making sure we've got the salary cap space to get out there and get a halfback like someone like a Sam Walker, if they were to become available, Jerome Hughes, Ben Hunts, et cetera, et cetera. But for now, man, I'm absolutely...
Don't get people on Jerome Hughes again, please. Don't get people on that wagon again.
All righty. Not Jerome Hughes. Anyone else but Jerome Hughes. Alrighty, we'll park it there, mate. Thank you very much to everyone who sent in their voice messages this week. Please get involved, guys. The link is in the YouTube description and the podcast description. We love this part of the show. It's always fun to interact with you guys. But it is time to close the show. So we do say thank you very much for being here on the Gold Coast Titans Frontline Podcast for our 50th episode. You know, we've had some people join us recently. We've had some people since day one. And to every single person that's tuned in these first 50 episodes, we absolutely appreciate your time, effort, and commitment, you know, because it's a commitment to sit down and listen to a podcast for an hour. It's not only a commitment to our show, it's a commitment to the Titans, showing that you care, you turn up for this club, you turn up for the front line, and I love that about you. So thank you very much, Blaze, and over to you to farewell this show.
I hope I didn't distract you there. I was just coming up with multiple ways of coming up with 5 and 50. But no, it's great. It's really, really good to obviously be able to, you know, be in touch with this community. It's great to hear that there are, you know, people within the club, you know, at very, very high levels. I'm not going to name names or anything like that, who do listen to this podcast. It's great to hear from the families that do listen to it. They come up to me at games and say that they really enjoy it. And it's unbelievable to hear it from you guys as well. The general community and the fans that support us. And, you know, you are the reason why we're able to keep on doing what we're doing and to keep on supporting this club. So it's a massive, massive shout to you guys for always supporting. Obviously, yeah, I'll be there on Saturday, getting around the drums, banging, getting loud, getting proud. And we're going to fire up behind our third win in a row. When we beat the Eels, we have to beat the Eels. And we're going to keep on moving and keep this this train moving along the line, son. So hit that thumbs up button, subscribe. We appreciate you. And anything else we need to say, son? Is there anything else we need to say?